When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Hello everyone and welcome to Wembley and to the Blood Red Podcast. I'm Joe Rimmer here alongside Theo Squires. Thanks for waiting. Wow, just an incredible afternoon. I'm kind of lost for words, which isn't a good start for a podcast, but how do you sum that up, Theo? I mean, nobody does drama like Liverpool. And this was drama like, I tweeted after the game, Theo, saying I think it could be the greatest win of Klopp's reign. And I know that sounds crazy, but when you think about the context, about the injuries, about the side they were playing, the money they've spent, the VAR decisions, the big chances for Chelsea. I mean, it's quiet in here, Wembley, now, but it wasn't quiet earlier. It was incredibly noisy. The crowd was incredible. Liverpool fans put Chelsea fans to shame. I think, you know, that they were incredibly loud. Chelsea had their plastic flags. I mean, how do you begin to sum it up? An incredible moment at the end where Van Dijk, you know, we were just down in Klopp's press conference and he was elated and tired, and it just had everything, didn't it? I don't really have a question. Just tell us how you feel.
It's a result where Liverpool could have lost 3-0 today and you'd still be incredibly proud of them. It felt from the majority like the Tottenham game where, how the hell have you got to the last minute and it is still level scores? Yeah. Like, so much adversity. And for the majority, let's be honest, they were still the better side. Chelsea looked very good on the counter-attack. They were creating chances and Keller had to put in a lot of good saves. But when it was getting the ball under, getting it under control, passing it around, Liverpool were superb. And this is just what everything under Klopp is building up to, this moment, this night, where he's like, this is how I want my team to play. We press from the front. We're so energetic. It's what, rock and roll football. And just nice passing movement. It's really good football to watch. And he brought that in and he made it with the first team within a few years, to the extent that they're winning the Champions League, winning the Premier League. But we're going to do it for the academy as well. And now we're seeing the academy lads coming in and setting the world alight. Like Jadon Dans, like he's just said in the press conference, I loved him from the first moment I saw him in team training. And I've said this a few times now, that would have only been a month ago, 6 weeks ago. Jadon Dans only made his Premier League 2 debut on January the 13th. He's made his second appearance at Liverpool today at Wembley in a League Cup final, and he could have scored twice. James McConnell, superb in midfield when he came on. Bobby Clark, superb. You can throw Harvey Elliott in there. He's been walking wounded here. He's done so well to get to the end of the game. It's just another really proud day for Liverpool. He felt at times maybe it just was going to be one adversity too many, one injury too many. But then you hear those fans at 90 minutes singing You'll Never Walk Alone. And I've said to you off camera, that's an Istanbul moment, isn't it? When they were singing that at halftime in Istanbul, it was like, we've got a chance here. And that must have made these players feel 10 feet tall. And they came in and put such a good performance in extra time. Like, these are players who have not played 90 minutes at Liverpool Football Club, never mind having to go all the way through extra time. Yeah. It's a huge win. It's a massive statement. You'd have been so proud of the performance, even if they lose. You just now wonder who is actually left fit for the game in midweek against Southampton. But tonight, we celebrate. Tonight, we enjoy this win.
Certainly. I'm looking at the chat here. If you've got a question, throw it in the chat. We'll try and get around to it. We'll stay as long as we possibly can. We might get kicked out at some point. Who knows? But Stuart Tudor dropping his favourite European city, and we're not going to do that today. But yeah, nice Nice. So very good. And Steve Killen, nice to see you. But yeah, I mean, where to start? All right. Well, in terms of playing performances, I mean, they're all 10 out of 10 in my book. Incredible performances. And like you say, there was a moment in the second half when Liverpool fans started singing Olé, Olé, Olé. And it was deafening. You know, it was incredibly loud. I've been to Wembley a few times and it was the loudest I've heard it. And the Chelsea fans were on our right here. And they sort of limply responded with a wave of their plastic flags. And it was belief like, you know, like you've never seen, and I think that like you say, must have bled into the players. It's a belief that Jurgen Klopp has installed in this whole football club. It was just the first thing he did when he walked through the door was give an incredible soundbite about doubters and believers that we've all heard a million times. But, it's almost become a cliche, but it's absolutely true. You know, that the supporters believe, the fans believe, sorry, the supporters and the fans, the supporters believe, the players believe, it seeps right through into the academy. It is just an incredible collective. And that's what today was all about. And they made Chelsea, they embarrassed Chelsea. I mean, it was, Liverpool played like lions and Chelsea, were sheep. They just couldn't kangaroos. Get near them. Kangaroos, yeah. And there were some top performances. I'd like to start with, I said in the last podcast, Endo was my favourite Liverpool player of all time. And I'm sticking with it. I thought he, like at the end, he was like hunched over almost, so weary. And he just kept fighting and fighting. He basically won a 200 million battle on his own, didn't he, with those two, Enzo and Caicedo. He was just absolutely superb. He's just left on some crutches and a protective boot, which is like, it may as well be the club apparel at the moment, mightn't it? Nike should bring out some protective boots because all the Liverpool players are wearing them. But he left earlier, so he will be a big doubt now for Southampton and possibly beyond that. But I just said to my mates at home, stick the under-9s out. I feel like Liverpool will win everything with them. So, he was brilliant. I thought Elliot and Bradley, I know Bradley came off, but I think you've got to consider that these are really, really young players. And Elliot might be experienced, in inverted commas, now, but he's still really, really young. And to handle a change of circumstances in the middle of the game like they did when Gravenberch went off, they changed position, and to handle that in the way that they did against a side like Chelsea, I thought was just incredible. They were brilliant. And then when the young players came on, obviously they all did so well. I thought James McConnell, there was a moment when he got a booking for a professional foul, but it was brilliant. Him getting that booking was perfect. It was exactly what he needed to do, and I loved that. I thought that was really, really good. And Bobby Clark looks one hell of a talent, doesn't he? I mean, he was brilliant. So the Van Dijk moment, I must admit, I thought we were going to get through to pens and then it would have been a lottery. And, whether you trust the kids to take the pens, maybe that's really harsh, judging on by what we've just witnessed.
Mid-season, didn't they, last year? AC Milan and Lyon. Yeah. I think Bobby Clark might have missed one then.
Yeah, so I thought we were going there. So for Van Dijk to go and win it was just incredible. And, talk us through a little bit of Klopp's press conference there. He just came through and, it was really nice, wasn't it? It was kind of a bit different from some of his recent press conferences.
Yeah, well, for starters, Klopp was knackered, wasn't he? You could tell he's done so many post-match press conference, but interviews. So the first thing he said to us was, thanks for waiting. He's like, you could have watched the other interviews. But no, he gave some really good answers, full of praise for Van Dijk, for Endo. There was a nice little joke, there wasn't there, about Darwin and Szoboszlai saying, medical team told me they were injured, but they were 100% in those celebrations. I have to have a word with the medical team. He also asked about the Virgil van Dijk disallowed goal. It was like, who here thinks it was offside? Who was on VAR? I still don't know why it's been ruled out. It looks so harsh. Van Dijk is onside. Endo might have been offside, or he's blocked Colwill. But it's over Colwill's head anyway. Van Dijk is winning that header.
I thought it was very, very, very harsh. Yeah, like you say, I think it was over Colwill's head. It was the sort of thing that you see a million times around corners and free kicks, and they aren't penalised. I think I saw a lot of people on social media talking about like almost like VAR stretching to find something to rule a goal out. I thought it was absurd, really. And it was, Liverpool had every right to feel massively aggrieved by that. What do you say? So it was justice, wasn't it?
One thing that's not been said about that disallowed goal is, if you look at, I think it was Chilwell during it as well, he's got a full hand on Van Dijk pulling him down, and he still beats him in the air. He still wins the header. Klopp obviously not very impressed that that wasn't allowed. He's had a proper attack at the referee by the sounds of it in the post-match things, interviews, saying he wasn't up to the refereeing this occasion. It's not as though he favoured either side, but there are a number of big decisions. You're looking at it and going, how has he made that decision? I said, I think on the half time one, I'm not really sure how Caicedo stayed on the pitch. That was a stamp on Gravenberch, who Gravenberch has probably left. He was on crutches, he was on a protective boot for the celebrations, and we've seen Curtis Jones sent off for less this season. There's just so many bizarre decisions in this game, yet Liverpool still dug in. They were resilient and they emerged victorious. Like, you can see moments where they did feel like they're struggling a bit with the pressure, where Chelsea were knocking at the door. Keller had to make some big saves. There was a couple of really bad misses. Was it Fernandes when he's like in the 6-yard box, gets it stuck under his feet? But yeah, like, it was just a really positive day. And Klopp, I also love the little reference to Alan Hansen. Like, yeah, I've just learnt the line, there's an English saying, you don't win anything with kids. Like, this doesn't happen in football, but Liverpool have proved Alan Hansen wrong today. And I hope that Doyley have done that in one of their comments today. If not, we'll probably do it tomorrow, won't we, between us? But yeah, it was a really proud day for Liverpool Football Club with the kids stepping up and being counted. It makes you feel positive about the future after Jurgen Klopp. Like, he is passing on the baton to a better place. Like, as long as they get the managerial appointment right and it's someone who fully buys into the club and what Klopp's achieved and the players fully get behind, this is just the start for their journey. It's Liverpool 2.0, and you're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-olds here who've just won their first medal in professional football at Wembley, not just sitting on the bench making up numbers. Many more of this to come. We'll have to see if there's a few more trophies before the end of the season, fingers crossed. But if this is a nice last one for Jurgen Klopp, they've gone and done it in style. But you'd like to think they can challenge for the league trophy. The only thing that's stopping them now from winning more trophies is that injury list. If any more players get knocked down here, they've got nothing left. It's 13 players now, isn't it, with Endo in that protective boot, Gravenberch in the protective boot. My earpiece has just fallen out, so hopefully Syrian's not going to be speaking to us. But yeah, it's just ridiculous, that injury list, and they've still managed to find a way to get the job done and win the League Cup against a side that's starting 11, probably cost, what, nearly £1 billion, something ridiculous like that. It's going to be multi hundred million.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
A word as well for Quiven Keller, who I've never seen a man look like he's just woken up and in the 6-yard box and is, plays the game with such a cool demeanour, doesn't he? And he did his best Alisson impression today. And it's funny with Keller, because he's been a player who, when he first came in, I thought, God, Liverpool got one of the best number twos in world football. He was that good. And then, you know, probably for a year there, I was thinking, you know, does he need to go and get football? You know, there were some performances that I wasn't too sure about. And then recently he's come roaring back. And that was probably, well, there's no probably about it. That was his best Liverpool performance. Saves at big moments. And yeah, and getting out at the feet of people. And just, it's just so cool. You know, like the ball comes back to him. He's under pressure. He's always cool. You know, I thought he was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, definitely deserves to be one who's talked about a lot today. And, you know, again, you go through the team. Gomez came off the bench, put in a great performance. Van Dijk as a leader, you know, it was great for him to have that moment, because I think, you know, obviously defenders don't get many goals, but for him as a leader and as a representative and for all those kids, I thought it was just brilliant. Kanate, you know, so they had to take him off at the end because I think he might have got sent off, but his performance was just out of this world. You know, the amount of one-on-one duels those two have to win, and Chelsea basically played deep today, that they hoping to try and clip balls over the top. Catlin won the counter with the pace of Jackson Sterling, and then Mudrick later in the game, and Madueke, and Konate just won so many one-on-ones where he was charging back. There was one that he came back and defended in that 6-yard box over there and got his body in the way. There was so much of that, and I go back to that belief. You don't do those sorts of things without belief. You know, there was a moment very early in the game when Chelsea lost the ball and Sterling sort of turned around, shrugged his shoulders at one of his teammates and sort of pulled a face and then started jogging back, and Liverpool were breaking. And I think you very rarely see that from Liverpool. Any player that's come in, you very rarely see it. Klopp just didn't allow it. From the moment he came in, he weeded out anyone that could be like that. And that's what the difference is between these two teams. Chelsea, just a team that there's no common ground running through that club. There's no belief. You know, those players are just an expensively assembled sort of Frankenstein's monster of a club that, yeah, just didn't turn up. Whereas Liverpool, to a man, everyone put in performances. Simicast, you know, we've he's been out with his own injuries, barely seen much of him. Gets the assist, came off the bench, I thought, fought so hard. Once again, so many duels here on the left-hand touchline that I thought was so impressive. So, you know, I just keep going back to that belief. And, you know, you say more players injured and it gets harder and harder, doesn't it? But when do you ever count this Liverpool team out? You never can, because they come and do the, you know, the most extraordinary of things. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be tough, but I wouldn't count them out ever. And we should know that by now. You know, I kind of was a bit nervous before kickoff after seeing the teams. You know, I was hoping that maybe Nunes or Salah would at least make the bench. And when they didn't, I thought that was a blow. But then they came through the first 20 minutes. I thought, they're the best team here. And as the game wore on, I became more and more confident. And then obviously Gravenberch gets injured and you think, blow. And then it went to extra time and I thought they might struggle here because they looked out on their feet. Alexis McAllister. How good was Alexis McAllister? Absolutely outstanding. And ran himself into the ground. So, you know, as the game wore on, I started to worry. But then again, in extra time, Liverpool took over again, started controlling the game. I couldn't really believe it. And, you know, Chelsea, if you're a supporter of Chelsea, you'd be absolutely furious with your team for not managing to grapple control of that game with the experience. And, all right, I say experience, maybe the price tag that they had on players, some of them weren't perhaps that experienced, but they played, you know, they played far more than Liverpool's academy graduates. And Liverpool just controlled it, played the game in Chelsea's final third. And the goal was always going to come for Liverpool, wasn't it, in that extra time? So Chelsea's window to win it was at the end of the 90 minutes. And when they didn't, Liverpool carried on growing into it. So that, you know, that was incredible. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many themes and it's quite difficult coming on this pod after the game. It's the first time I've done like a post-match one, especially in the ground. And it's quite difficult to sort of gather your thoughts. So, you know, you sort of here, there and everywhere. Yeah, But yeah, I probably keep repeating myself. But yeah, any questions for them in chat? Give us a like, give us a subscribe, press the bell, as the lads always laugh at me for saying, but press the bell because that always helps. But yeah, Theo, any other performances that you want to pick out there? I mean, substitutions are great, aren't they? Klopp substitutions were brilliant and brave and bold. And again, where I felt like Chelsea, it felt like they were sort of hanging on and maybe playing for penalties a little bit at the end. Whereas Chelsea was, Klopp was aggressive with his substitutions and brought players on who, you know, he could have left tired players on and just hoped they got through, but he didn't. He brought on young players and backed them. And that was something in itself, wasn't it? Steve Killen's asking how many cases of Carabao to bring back. We're going to need a fair few. Those players probably need the most of them. And look, you know, I'm a bit gutted if Carabao UK, if you're watching, if you want to give us any Carabao, I've not seen any round here, but I've been banging the drum for the League Cup for a long time. So if anyone deserves a Carabao after the Liverpool players, Klopp and all the staff, maybe I could have a little sip. But Theo, any more performances to pick out?
I just want to pick up what you've said there about the kids again. I know we keep going back to them, and you say about Chelsea that they're individuals, but this isn't just a Liverpool team that have played together under Jurgen Klopp and they've become a band of brothers. These kids have been in that academy for years, learning how to play together as well. And does it answer the transfer market debate? Like, you know, especially when you have years like last year, fans go, transfers, transfers, transfers. That is the answer. Go and spend 50 million on a new centre-back. Go and do this. Go and do that. We need a Trent Alexander-Arnold deputy replacement, whatever, at right-back. We need a new centre-back. We need this. We need that. Granted, these players have played more than anyone would have liked this year because of injuries. But have faith in the academy. Chelsea have spent all that money and they've just built a team of individuals that can't play together. Liverpool have got these players coming through together, breaking through at the same time. And the academy coaches always say it. They're doing this with their friends. Yeah. And it means that much more to them. Like, we could easily see some of these players playing the Youth Cup game next Thursday against Leeds United, because they did against Arsenal before Christmas, because they wanted to play with their friends and go for the trophy. And there is that such unity there. And it's great atmosphere behind the scenes all the way through the club, and this one is for them. As much as everything is going wrong for Chelsea this year, and I think this is how you don't spend money. Liverpool have been criticised for not spending money at times, but this season they can say, well, this is why. We didn't want to go and sign a new right back because we've got Conor Bradley. We didn't need to sign a new centre back because we've got Joel Cranzer. You look at the midfielders there, and yes, they had to spend that to revamp the midfield, but you look at it now going, actually, do they need another number six or a number eight? Because you've got McConnell, you've got Clark. Do you need another striker when you've got Jadon Dans, who can learn that job from Darwin Nunes? They've just got so many good players coming through, and Klopp keeps saying there's more here that we haven't seen yet. Like Trey Enyonni, I still can't say his name properly. I keep saying this on every podcast, I need to learn it, and that's embarrassing on my behalf. But he's only 16, he's been in so many match day squads and we've not seen him yet.
16 on the bench.
It's mental, isn't it, in a final? It's like, when will that opportunity come? probably on Wednesday, let's be honest. He's probably going to get an outing against Southampton if everyone is as injured as we think they are. You got Lewis Kumas there as well. And he started the season with the 21s after doing pre-season with the first team. He scored a lot of goals at that level, but he's not got the attention of Dan's because it's easier, to score at the under-18s level when you're ready for it. And while he's been in a couple of matchday squads, he's not made that debut yet because he's still quite a slight boy. He's going to be maybe bullied a little bit, you'd fear, on the big occasions against those big 6'3", 6'4" defenders. But Dan's can rise to that challenge. But then when they get built, they get those muscles on them. And you see like Curtis Jones this season, they step up again. And it's just keep going on about the academy, that they're brilliant. But you can go through that 11. So many players were superb. Like Endo bossed that midfield, as you said. We won that battle. He was winning everything. I love that moment in which half was out. I can't even remember because it was four, weren't they, in the end? But when he sprints past Caicedo and just left him for dust on the halfway line. And it's like, you've spent 115 million or whatever on your midfielder. We spent 16 on ours and he's just left you like that. He's just in control of that game. It was ridiculous. Elliot was really, really good. You're not feeling like, oh, this looks so bad without Mohamed Salah when we've been in that situation before. McAllister has been amazing ever since he came back from injury, and long may that continue. £35 million bargain. Gakpo and Diaz probably would have been like to be a bit more involved, but that was just the way the game went.
By the way, I disagree. I think just a quick word on Diaz. I thought Diaz, all right, yeah, sometimes I think with Diaz, the end product, I think I talked about that in the pre-match pod. You know, you'd like to see him take a couple of more chances. But his work rate today was phenomenal. Yeah. And in the end of extra time, he could barely walk. You know, you could see his legs were absolutely done. But he stretched Chelsea and ran them ragged. And the pressing was just out of this world. So I thought Diaz, yeah, all right, you know, he didn't have the moment with the goal or anything like that. But his work rate was really key. And I think, it was the work rate of everyone. You know, we talk about players and you say their work rate, but Diaz, you know, sort of taking that mantle up front. You know, Gakpo again, there was moments again for him, but he wasn't quite as involved. But I thought Diaz was really, really good.
He scored though, shouldn't he, Gakpo? Hit the post, couple of chances. Yeah, he's unlucky. Yeah. The thing with Cody Gakpo is he's not Jota, he's not Nunes, and he's not Salah. No. He's not a prolific finisher the same way. And I know we talk about Nunes' composure, but maybe that is the Firmino role in the team. And it's fine having that player when your wingers are the ones then providing you 20, 30 goals like Salah and Mane did. You're not going to get that from Elliot and Diaz. So there's a bit more pressure on them when that is the front three. We've had a comment here from CJ saying the young boys did so well, but why is there no Cade Gordon? I think he was left at home. I think that's what Klopp said in the post-match press conference when he was talking about the youngsters. Obviously, they can't bring everyone. And they would have had a couple of players who didn't make the squad here today, like Mrozek, the goalkeeper, but then Salah and Nunes, just to see if they could overcome the injuries, and they didn't. Cade Gordon, you'd imagine if he's fit, he'll play midweek. But
it's a bad injury, isn't it, Cade Gordon?
Yeah, I think he's not been forgotten. He's not been left behind, but it takes time to come back from such a long-term injury. Like, he was out for best part of 18 months, and he was explosive when he burst onto the scene, but it still takes time, and it'll take time for him to get the consistency and the rhythm. I saw him in the under-21s against Stoke the other week, and he had a really, really good first half. He was cutting inside a lot, and everything was going through him. I know Barry Lutas was singing his praises, but then he does tire when the game comes on because it's been so long since he's played consistent football. But his chance will come, maybe under a new manager, but then might have to play a few more games the rest of the season here. But you've got so many academy players you're waiting to see step up, and they're complementing this senior group so, so well. There is a nice generation gap here. Like last year, it was everyone seemed to be old at once, but now you've got the ones that are Salah, Van Dijk, Alisson, but then they've also got the younger ones who are at that peak, or not even at their peak yet, like Nunes, Szoboszlai, McAllister that have signed, and then the young generation coming through. So it's just going to be that succession of Trent is becoming a leader in this team, Curtis Jones is becoming a leader in this team, then Bradley will, then Quansah will. So if everything seems to be so right off the pitch, if they keep this going, Liverpool aren't going anywhere anytime soon, even without Jurgen Klopp in the dugout.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Yeah, agreed. A couple more things I'd point out. Bobby Clark. We haven't spoken about him much. I thought Bobby Clark was absolutely outstanding. You can tell there's a little bit of something special about Bobby Clark. You know, the way he moves with the ball, the way he traps it, the way he sort of used his body and swiveled some of the Chelsea defenders. I thought he was just he showed a real bit of class and a bit of composure in what was a very frenetic final bit of the game. And I think, again, this underlines, I think I mentioned on a pod recently, that Vitor Massos role. Yeah. Obviously, he's leaving Liverpool. I think he'll go with Linders. I think that is a massive role that Liverpool have to get right, because it's been one of the roaring successes of... I mean, let's face it, that was an FSG appointment in terms of that role when they brought Linders into it. So that has been a roaring success for Liverpool over the last 10 years, I'd say. And I think they need to find the right person to fill that role, because for the next manager, it's going to be key. And there aren't many clubs. It's very rare, I think, that they have such a connection between academy and first team. It's something that, let's face it, it's something that, you know, growing up watching the Julier teams, the Benitez teams, you get players coming through, don't get me wrong. Liverpool have been very lucky to have some really, really talented footballers. But there was always this talk about the disconnect between academy and first team and whether they can get that right. To me now, they've got that so, so well. And Sam and Joe with a 7-2 Villa shout here. Very, very odd to bring a result from 4 years ago into the mix. Yeah, it's Chelsea badge. I think you need to go to bed, mate. I think you're tired. But yeah, I mean, I think that academy connection is incredible. So I think Liverpool needs to make sure that they continue that and don't lose it when Klopp leaves. And I think as well that the types of manager they will look for will be types of manager who give young players a chance, because that again is an FSG. It's an FSG sort of, like, it's part of their operating model, isn't it? So yeah, definitely think they need to do that. Dead quickly, before we wrap up, I wanted, there were some really nice moments in the celebrations. I saw Kenny and Elliot in the tunnel there. Kenny cuddling Elliot, big grin on his face. I love Klopp sort of missing it, thinking you'll never walk alone and finished, and going to give the fist bumps and then having to run back into the huddle there to sort of carry on singing it. But there's some really nice moments in the celebrations, and I know you spotted a few, Theo, so do you want to just take us through one or two before we sign off, because I am slightly worried that we're going to get kicked out soon. Oh, there's a couple of people sitting around. Oh, there's James Pearce sitting around up there. Pearce is still there. Neil's still there, so we might be a bit all right for a bit longer. So yeah, if you want to run us through some really nice moments in the celebrations that you spotted.
One of them was, well, you know, whenever Liverpool win a trophy, Klopp gets his coaching staff together and they pose for a picture. And they did that in front of the fans on the other side of the stadium, from us, still Liverpool fans in their seats. And it's when they were posing that for that picture, it struck me, this, if the season doesn't end how we want, could be the last time they get to do that. But so I think it's a bittersweet moment, isn't it, for them doing that, for celebrating with the fans. And then Klopp does another go at the fist pumps, but when he's holding the trophy, and there was a lot less energy about it that time, shall we say. He's a very tired man after all this. The celebrations, you got the kids as well, like Quancer and Bradley, I think it was. They were like doing piggybacks, obviously Bradley on Quancer's back. I'm not sure Bradley could have managed holding Quancer up after running his socks off for 60, 70 minutes. But they were full of energy, enjoying winning their first trophy. I'm trying to think what else. Jamie Carragher, he was down on the sidelines. He was catching up with Tom Werner and Mike Gordon. Those two FSG bosses, they got hold of the trophy at one point, they posed for a picture, and then they realised, what do we do with the trophy now? And it just so happened to be Luis Diaz walking past them, so they're, here you go, Lucho. And he was like a bit taken aback, thanked them for getting the trophy. Obviously, you've mentioned there, Klopp having to go back to the group. He did the fist pumps, of course, behind the goal as well. Before, was that before they went up to get the trophy, I think? Yeah, that sounds right. You had Ibrahim Konate and Virgil van Dijk leading the one kiss dance that Klopp joined in as well. It's just so many nice moments between these players that have achieved so much together, even the ones that haven't been on at the club that long or in the first team that long. There is just such a unity there, and you like we keep saying on this podcast, you feel so proud of them for the jobs they've done today, that they've done the club proud, and it's nice that they actually got the trophy to justify those efforts. We will be doing a Moments Missed on the celebrations piece, which all being well should go up this evening. If not, it'll be tomorrow morning. There's a few more that are just escaping me at this moment, because we've got quite a few between us, didn't we? So they'll be on there, and then tomorrow we'll have your normal post-match stuff with whatever moments missed during the game, doilies, analysis, Gorsty's verdict. Has Gorsty's verdict gone up yet? But yeah, there's so much to come. I think we are getting booted out now, and that's what you're warning about, Joe. But yeah, you're better doing the YouTuber send-offs than me, aren't you? Telling us to click and subscribe, do your TikTok dances and all that.
Right, well, okay, well, we are getting kicked out, so nice lady's just come over and asked us to leave. So look, thanks so much for listening. Please do give us a like if you're on YouTube, subscribe, press the bell. If you're listening on podcast, if you can give us a review, we'd really appreciate it. If you're on Facebook, give us a like. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, and yeah, look out for, we'll just have so much reaction, so much of the analysis from the game. Pretty much all of us have done some analysis to come, so yeah, we'll have plenty of that throughout the evening and tomorrow morning, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Blood Red pod from the office. We'll drive back tonight, we'll freshen up, we'll get a few hours kip, and we'll get back on the pod, and we'll have a proper reaction. So thank you so much for listening. All the best, and 10 League Cups. Liverpool are still the most successful team in the land. Up the Reds. Good night. Tour up.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.